turn to the last book of the Old Testament. It is called Malachi. Malachi. Today, we are going to talk about a very sensitive subject. We're going to talk about a very difficult subject. And before we do that, we need to go to the Lord in prayer. So please join me as we pray. God, our Father, this morning, as we talk about money, and we talk about giving, and we talk about tithing, and we talk about offering, I pray that you would do a number of things in our heart. Number one, God, soften us to your truth. If there is a heart in this congregation, including my own, that is resistant to what is going to be said this morning, pray that you would soften that heart and open it to hear what you have to say. Lord, if there is a heart in here that struggles financially or is challenged monthly to make a regular tithe or offering or to give or even to manage their money well, I pray that you would open that heart to change. And God, for those who want to fight back against your truths, I pray that you would unharden that heart. For those who are eager for change, create an avenue and a way to make that change happen. God, there is no easy way to say hard things. And so this morning, as you have called me to say a hard thing, be glorified, because that's all I can ask. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So this morning, we're going to be talking about money. More specifically, we're going to be talking about giving. And even more specifically, we're going to be talking about tithing. Okay, let me just clarify. There's a difference between tithing and giving and offerings. Okay, you can give in any way. I can give my wife a hug. I can give you a handshake. Chuck can give our children candy, and then we can blame him for all their actions for the rest of the night. No, so there's lots of ways to give, right? And so there's also offerings. And if we look at the Old Testament, there's a difference between a tithe and an offering. And the offering is typically understood, and you could maybe, you know, I guess different people have different opinions about how to maybe, what words to use, and I don't even know if it matters that much, but essentially, offerings are ways that we give financially beyond our regular tithe. So your tithe is your regular giving to the church. Your offering is beyond your regular tithe. Okay? Now, a tithe is, let's just get some definitions out there so we're all on the same page about what is being said. A tithe is 10%. That's what it means. It means a tenth. It comes from Genesis 14 when Abraham brought a tenth of everything that he had to the priest Melchizedek. And then from there, and that was before the Old Testament law was established. So the idea of giving a tenth is not an Old Testament law. This was established before. Once the law was in place, God said, all right, you got to give a tenth. And then he added on other ways in which the Israelites must give. At the end of the day, every year, annually, the Israelites were to bring about 26% of their annual income. 26%. If they followed the law to the T, that was about where they landed, 26%. So the idea of a tenth was established before the law. So when Jesus fulfills the Old Testament covenant by dying on the cross and rising from the grave, and he starts a new covenant. And Hebrews 8 says that the old covenant is obsolete. We can almost disregard the Old Testament law because we now live under grace, because Jesus has fulfilled the requirements. That does not mean we put away the idea of a tenth, because that was before the law. So let's just get that out there, that the word tithe means for you and me, Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, to give a certain percentage. Okay. Now, the word tithe means tenth, but I'm not telling you that you have to give a tenth. I'll explain that later. But when we say tithe, we're saying that you give a regular amount of at a percentage at which you and your spouse or your family have decided. Now, money. Money is a sensitive issue. Why? Because money touches everything in your life. Money dictates where you work. Money dictates where you live. Whether you rent a home or buy a home, the type of car you drive, where your kids go to school, money dictates the number of extracurricular activities you do and what type of activities you do. It dictates your vacation schedule, your grocery list, the clothes you wear. Money also affects your relationship with your family, with your spouse, with your kids, your parents, your siblings, your cousins, your uncles, your aunts. Money touches everything. Money touches your relationship with God. This is why money is such a sensitive issue. No one wants their spiritual leader to stand in front of them and demand that they give money to this church. You want to know why nobody likes that? Because it hurts your pride. It does. Don't tell me what to do with my money. Don't tell me what to do with my money. And here's the reality. This is really what it comes down to, because I've felt this before. There's a guy standing at a pulpit telling me that I should give this amount or this percentage, or this is how I should give, or that I should give, or that I should be regular, or here's all the things I need to do. And I'm going, dude, you don't know my financial life. You don't know the debt I'm in, the bills I have to pay, the struggles I have. You don't understand where I'm at. And I'm not going to go up to you and explain it to you all after church. So I'm going to do my thing. I'm not going to tell you about it, Pastor. But me and my wife, we know what we're doing. So you might not see a check in the plate for me this week, and you might not understand why, but we get it. So just back off. And maybe you don't have such a hostile attitude, okay? Maybe there's a less hostility in that, but maybe that's still a reality for you. Okay? This is a very touchy and sensitive subject, because it attacks the very depths of our pride. And let's be totally honest with ourselves. The phrase, put your money where your mouth is, I don't like that phrase. It's not very nice, but it does reveal the truth of where our heart is. You want to know what you value most. You want to know what your priorities in life are. Look at your budget. That's it. Your budget will reveal what you value most, because your money touches everything. Everything. Everything, everything, everything in your life needs money. Jesus knew it, so he was sensitive to the subject. He talked about money more than anything in the New Testament, or any other subject in which he talked about money was the most, because he knows the dangers of it. Okay? So, when money is brought up, people get irritated, they get a little defensive, they're immediately like, you know, you're thinking, oh, Gray's going to talk to us about how much, you know, about giving and tithing. And if we're struggling in that area, we're immediately defensive, because we want to defend the reasons we're struggling. But consider this. Tithing and giving is a matter of generosity. Tithing and giving is a matter of generosity, which is a gift from God. To be generous, because God is generous, to be generous is a gift from God. And in, like with every gift, we're constantly growing. So listen to me. If you're immediately defensive about the subject of money and giving and tithing because you don't feel like you've been faithful enough, don't get defensive. Open up your heart and say, hey, this is just one of those areas in my life, just like everything else that Pastor Mark talks about, that I got to grow in. We've been in 1 Peter for how long? And we've been talking about enduring. We've been talking about enduring suffering. I ran a 5K yesterday. Yeah. It was hot. Okay, so I'm running this 5K. I'm in the middle of 5K. I literally, like 30 steps into the race, I'm like, my legs feel like jello. I'm like, God, you are going to have to pick me up. About a mile into the race, I feel like I'm about to pass out. I am just dying. And I start praying. I'm like, this is what I need. I need to talk to the Lord. He will give me strength. Lord, fill me with your spirit. I know this is silly. It's just a race, but I need your strength and I need you to breathe through me. And then I'm like, he's going to start filling me. I can feel it. Nope, I'm still tired. God, you were supposed to show up here. What's going on? So I'm 10 seconds later, I'm like, this isn't working, Lord. All right, I'm still tired. I still can't breathe. It's still hot out. I thought you'd like bring a cloud or something. No. And then it dawns on me, I wouldn't have stopped running, but it was almost like I think I slowed down a little bit with the stunning awe that came to my mind as I begged God to make this race easier for me. I go, Mark, you've been preaching on enduring suffering for months. And I'm like, you're not going to make this easy for me, God. You're just going to show up and help me endure. So it didn't get easier. It got harder. And as it got harder, I was like, okay, God, I get it. You can help now. it just got harder and harder. And guess what? I finished. Amen. Right? I finished. Okay? And so he helped me endure the race. And I finished. And I finished strong. Okay? Where was I going with that? The point is that we grow in all of these areas of our life. And that specific area that I've been preaching for months from the pulpit, like, I've got it figured out, guys. Endurance, this guy knows about it. I ran a race yesterday and didn't figure it out until I ran a 5K and felt like I didn't want to finish. We all are on our way to becoming more like Christ. So do not think of your lack of generosity or your lack of tithing or your struggle financially as I'm not doing my duties as a Christian and I'm not being the Christian I should be and God is upset with me. Consider it this. This is an opportunity for you to grow in generosity, just like with every other thing we talk about. Okay? Now, turning your Bibles to Malachi 3:10. It's probably in my top 10 favorite Bible verses to preach on because of this concept that is in here that is so stunning to me. So I'll read it and then I'll explain why I think it's such a stunning concept. Malachi 3:10. This is God talking. He's talking to the Israelites. Bring the full tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby, listen to this, put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Deuteronomy 6:16 says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Matthew 4:7, Jesus says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Isaiah 7:12, Isaiah says, "I will not ask, for I will not put the Lord to the test." Malachi 3:10, God says, "Put me to the test." What an interesting concept. All of Scripture is clear that God says, don't even think about testing me. I cannot be tempted or tried or tested. Don't question me. Don't try me. I am God, and it is a fearful thing for you to fall into my mighty hand. That's we see it all throughout Scripture. Until he talks about one subject, tithing. Not just money in general, tithing. Your regular offering or giving to his kingdom is the one subject in which God literally says, test me, try me. Go ahead and see that I won't fulfill my promise and that I won't bless you until you have no other need financially. Go for it. Push me. Test my generosity. Test my grace. Test my faithfulness to supply all your needs. Please, please try me so that I can show you what I'm like. Now, if we could go to the next slide, that would be great. The next slide on the PowerPoint. The total income, I want to give you a little statistic here, help you understand. Put this Malachi 3:10 into context. The total income for America, Americans, all the income that we bring in as Americans, $12.95 trillion. Christians rake in, of that 12.95, $5.2 trillion. So that whole bar is all of America's income. The blue is what Americans bring in percentage of that total income. Can you imagine what would happen if 100% of Christians tithed off of that $5.2 trillion? Or even 50% of Christians tithed off of that $5.2 trillion income that we bring in? Next slide. Yet in America, Christians give 2.3% of their income. Now listen, that's an average. That's an average. Which means there's plenty of Christians who are probably giving zero, which bring that number down, or less than 2.3, because there's plenty of Christians giving beyond 2.3% that bring that statistic up. So this is a balance. This is where we land as Christians. In America, we give 2.3% of our annual income. 2.3% of $5.2 trillion, that's $119 billion. So right now, annually, the church in America, Christians, the church in our country, as a total, all the churches, you break them up, we are raking in's a bad word. We are tithing $119 billion. That's 2.3% of $5.2 trillion. Now let's say that small percentage of people who are giving were to give 10%. Of that $5.2 trillion that Christians make in annual income, the church would be tithing $520 billion annually. That's a $400 billion difference. Meaning, that's a $400 billion gap that we're missing as the church in America. Now, that's should be a problem. We should recognize that that's an alarming problem. But look at this. It's also an opportunity. That's $400 billion we get to give. Right? So let's not look at it as, oh my gosh, we're not doing it right. Let's look at it as, hey man, we got a gap to fill. And not just because, oh, well, we didn't make the budget, and the church has got to make the budget, and that's what we're all about, making budget, because the church is a business too. That's not our mentality. That has nothing to do. We will talk about Grace Church's numbers when we're during our family meeting. We will talk about them. We want you to know where we're at. We want to be honest with you. We want to be honest about where we're at as a church. We want to look at our future, look where we're at now. Those are the things we're going to address. But I'm here to encourage you, to challenge you, to command you, God's command, that tithing is not a financial issue. It's a spiritual issue. So I'm not saying, let's make up the $400 billion starting right here, right now, because we got to make budget. Yes, the budget is important. God cares that we have a budget, and he cares that we meet the budget, of course. But I'm calling on your heart to meet God's desire for you to be a Christian who gives generously and cheerfully and shows your priority for God with your budget. So, there's one more slide. Only 3% of American Christians tithe regularly. That should be the most alarming statistic. 3% of Americans tithe regularly. So you're in a room of, say, 100 people. Only 3 of those people give a, we'll say, monthly, for the sake of regularity. Say they give a monthly check or tithe. Listen, we got to draw a very clear distinction here. God does not need your money. He does not need anything. He wants your heart, and your money has stolen it. And he's saying, give me your checkbook so that I can prioritize myself above it, and then watch me manage your money. That's part of what tithing is about. The prioritization of God in your life. So no, I honestly, I know where we're at financially as a church. I am not standing here saying, guys, you got to start tithing to Grace Church if we're going to make our budget. Now, that is also a reality, but it always will be. It always will be, because the church will always have a budget, and the church's budget will always be dependent on people tithing. So it will always be a need until Jesus returns that the church tithes for the sake of the church to continue. That's it. That's a reality. We have to just accept that as a fact. So now that we know that's clear, I'm not saying, come on, guys, time to give, give, give. I'm saying, come on, guys, time to prioritize God over our money. Jesus saw that, and he talked about money a lot to help the people avoid falling victim to the venom of being a slave to your money. So, knowing these statistics, you can't tell me that tithing is not a problem for the church today, because it is. And people are becoming more and more comfortable not tithing, while they become more and more uncomfortable financially. Do we not see a correlation there? Our debt rises at home. We get more and more debt. We become more and more financially unstable. And what happens? We stop giving. We stop giving because we don't have enough money at home. I'll say this. This is just my personal testimony. My wife and I struggled with a budget, and we struggled with tithing regularly most of our married life. Until the last few years, even as a pastor, I struggled. It was hard. because we had so much debt, so many things to pay. And here's what happened. God really just woke us up to tithing and gave us a strict budget. And here's the reality. When we I'll share with you even a more specific way. I was a youth pastor. This is like 6 years ago. I spent the youth budget mostly on food. Okay? And I sat before my board, and they chastised me for spending all the youth budget on food. I said, have you met a teenager? So they didn't like that. In rebellion, with a rebellious heart, which is sin, decided that the next year I wasn't going to spend a dime of that budget, and I was going to show them that I'm not even going to touch the budget, and we will still have a youth ministry. So I didn't tithe $1 that year to the church. You know what I did? I spent all my tithing money on that youth ministry. So I spent all the money I would have on regular tithing, I spent it on the youth ministry. And that was sin. We find a lot of ways to justify not giving to the church. Let me tell you what tithing is, biblically speaking. It is giving money, your decided percentage of your regular giving that you choose to give, to the church to allow the church leadership to decide how to manage. Here's what I did. I'm not going to let the church leadership decide how to manage my money. I'm going to manage it. I'm not giving them a dime. I'm going to spend my money on the church in a different way. And what else do we do? Well, I'm going to mow the lawn, or I'm going to fix the bathrooms, or I'm going to do that, and I won't have to give money that month because I gave them my time. That's not tithing. That's giving. It's offering. It's good. It's healthy. It's great. It's not tithing. But we find a lot of excuses to not write that regular check or to give that regular amount. And listen, I'm not begging for your money for the sake of the health of Grace Church. I'm not. I'm not worried about the future of Grace Church. I'm not. I'm not. I'm really not. I wish that you could feel what I feel for this church. I am the newest member in this building. I am so excited about our future. And I know, and I'm hesitant to share this. I shared this with somebody this week, and I even told them this morning I shouldn't say this. We are afraid to close our doors. Every church should be. Is, right? Whether they're healthy financially or not, oh, closing our doors would be the ultimate end. Are you kidding me? That's not the end. The Church of Jesus Christ will not die. It will not fail. There is no end for us. And even though the Church of Jesus Christ will not end, churches end, right? They shut their doors. So what's our worst case scenario? Grace Church shuts its door because one day we don't have enough money? So? Whether that's because God willed it or He didn't will it and we just weren't faithful enough. Whether it was God's choice or our fault. So? I refuse to live in fear of our doors closing. I will not look at the future and say, I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to stand before the people and beg them to tithe so that we don't have to shut our doors. I can't live like that as your pastor because I can't be a faithful man of God and do that at the same time. I just can't do it. And when I think about Grace Church and I get excited about what we could and can and will be, looking at the future as let's not shut our doors in 5 years is the opposite way of thinking for me. I can't do it. So that's why I'm here. Not to say, guys, you got to tithe so that we don't have to shut our doors. I'm saying, guys, you got to tithe because number one, God commands it. Number two, it brings you joy and it brings him glory. Number three, do you have any idea what this church could be? Listen, I know that you hired a new, young, excited preacher. And you, maybe in your back of your mind, thought, this guy will maybe bring some energy to the church and we'll grow. Listen, I'm not the guy who's going to make this church grow. You are. You are. And how you tithe is a reflection of your spiritual well-being to be the people who make this church grow. So, back to my story. My wife and I found lots of excuses to not tithe. We had a ton of needs and they never ended. Excuses are always there. Tithing is a command and a requirement and a need. And I will say this, once we started tithing regularly, and I mean regularly, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to explain all of our tithing details. We write 2 checks a month, okay? That's our idea of regular tithing. I don't care what your idea of regular tithing is, and some people, regular is way different because you only get paid like a commission check or something like, or you get paid at the end of a job and it was 3 months long or stuff like that. So your regular tithing fluctuates. And you don't get to write a check off of a regular income like some people do. Fine. But figure out what your regular tithing is. And become faithful to it. And for my wife and I, we struggled financially the more and more we excused regular tithing. Now we give regularly. And it feels wonderful. I love giving money away, and I don't even have the gift of giving. I don't. And I love giving away because I literally, when I was at our last church, I would take my check, I'd write it in my office because I wasn't in service during the passing of the plate in our last church. So I would write my check, and I would sit in my office, and I'd take my check, and I'd go, I'm going to walk over to the offering plate on like Tuesday morning while I'm in the office. I'm going to walk over to the offering plate, and on my walk, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to take the check. I walk over and be like, God, I am right now like the Israelites marching to Jerusalem, bringing you my tithe and my, I made it like super spiritual. So, for me, tithing became such a joy to give it back, to give it away. I was like, you promise me that this will bless me. You told me, try me. See that I won't bless you. Try me. You don't think I'll do it? Put me to the test. That's what he says. Don't try me in anything except for this. Because I know what money can do to people. And I won't let it take over my church. I want to take over my church. That's what he's saying. Which means we got to let go of money having a grip on our heart. For Holly and I, we have never been more financially stable in our lives. We have never been more financially satisfied in our lives. We have never been more financially comfortable in our lives. We have never consistently had the amount of money in our banks as we do right now. We have never had our debts in check like we do right now. We got a payments we're making. We're paying more than maybe I'm sharing too much, but I'm just telling you, it was tithing that did it. And every time we made an excuse for tithe, I could look at my budget and say, I just don't have enough to tithe. I have way too many needs to take care of. And when I add up all the dollar signs, guess what happens? I have too much that needs to be paid and not enough money to pay it. Does that make sense? I think a lot of people feel that way. My expenses are higher than my income. Uh-oh. Sorry, God. But God, you don't come after me like the debt collectors. I saw a post on Facebook. I laughed when I thought about it because I knew what I was preaching today. It said something along the lines of, Sin wouldn't look so appealing if the consequences were immediate. Right? Sin wouldn't look so good if you got punished for it, right? Like right away? We don't mind not giving or tithing because we justify the need to take care of our debts and our bills. I'm not worried. Maybe you're not like me. Maybe your personality is different, but I'm not worried about offending a debt collector. I'm more worried about offending the soul collector, right? I mean, isn't that a bigger fear? That God, the one who can take your life, says, bring me your full tithes. Not part of your tithes, your full tithes. And we're like, yeah, God, but the mortgage company, my utilities, I gotta eat. We got all these needs. God's like, whoa, you haven't read the Bible. If you have, you forgot. Bring in your full tithes. Try me. Put me to the test. See that I won't fulfill every need. How many needs? Every need. What needs? All your needs. Every need. Malachi 3:8. It's a few verses before. And then we're done. God says, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you, God? He says, and your tithes and contributions. Let me help you understand this verse with a picture. God is like the friend who brings a cake to your birthday party. Okay, he brings the cake to your birthday party. And why does your friend bring the cake to your birthday party? Because they love you. And they want you to be happy. And they want you to think of them as a friend who gives and loves you and cares for you and blesses you. So you take this cake and you eat it in front of them. And they say to you, can I have a piece? And you hoard the cake and turn away and you're like, you gave it to me. I thought this was my cake. You brought the cake for me. And your friend's like, yeah, but I'm at the party too. And you're like, but it's mine. So don't I get to give it to whoever I want, however I want? So we cut out some pieces. And we give one to our friend, mortgage. We give one to our friend, utilities. We give one to our friend, restaurants. We give one to our friend, car payment. We give one to our friend, 5K races, and we give one to our friend, all other extracurricular activities. We give one to our friend, spending money. And we're down to one piece. And you gotta eat. There's only one piece left. Someone's gotta eat. God's fine, he can take care of himself. I'll eat it. So you dig in that last piece by yourself, and God, the guy who brought the cake, is left out, and he says to you, why didn't I get a piece? And you say to him, you didn't bring enough. That's how we view our giving and our money. When you say, I don't have enough money to tithe, that's what you're doing. You're robbing God and saying, God, you didn't bring enough. He's like, excuse me? I own everything. I always have enough. The problem is not with my level of giving. The problem is with your priority of tithing, as I have commanded you. Now, tithe regularly the fullness of your tithe that you have decided, and watch me unleash what I own in your life. That's his promise. I love the Dave Ramsey way. He's like, make a list of things that are important to you on your budget. Top of your list, tithing. Everything else, place it in order of importance. Now, take your money, how much you make, and start putting it towards those amounts. And when you run out of money, you draw a line. And everything under that line on your list of expenses takes a hike, doesn't get paid. And then Dave Ramsey shares this awesome story about a debt collector who called him and he's like, "You owe us money." And he's like, "I don't care." He's like, "You know, I can't pay you. I can't afford to pay you." End of story. Long story short, Dave Ramsey is doing just fine. Okay? I could probably find 100 other examples of that. I could find examples that right here in this room. I could tell you my wife and I were the same way. There are times we're just like, "I can't pay that bill. Got to tithe." And what God has done is just changed our world. Now, how much should I give, Pastor Mark? Well, number one, read the back of your bulletin. I thought of eight ways, and there's more than eight ways to make tithing a priority. That'll help you figure it out. Read that on your way home. Talk about it as a family. Now, how do I know how much to give? Here's what the Old Testament tells you, 26%. Abraham gave 10%. 10%? That's a good starting point. That's all I'll say about it. There's no command for you to give 10%. Here's the command. Paul says that you are to give cheerfully and give what you have decided to give. So it is between you and your family, your spouse, to give an amount or a percentage that you have chosen to give. And from that percentage, you make it a regular giving. Now, here's the story of a great man that what I think is the best example of a true heart of giving. He set for himself a percentage and said, "I'm going to give this percentage of my money." And he gave his regular tithing, and then he paid for all of his regular living expenses. Now, as his income level rose over the years, he continued to live with the same expenses. He didn't change his level of living. He didn't say, "Hey, I make more money. I should live in a nicer home and buy a nicer car." He kept his standard of living the same. And as his money increased, he just gave more and continued to live in the same standard of living. That's the heart of someone who truly loves to give. I'm not suggesting that that's a command or that you should do that. What I'm saying is we got to figure out that we got to have this heart of generosity. Giving's about being generous. And guess who else is generous? God. And guess what God is to you? Generous to the point of giving you life and then giving you family and then giving you life in Jesus Christ and then giving you the church to support your life in Jesus Christ. And then blessing you with children, and blessing you with family, and blessing you with parents, and blessing you with gifts, and blessing you with everything you have. You have food, you have a vehicle, you have a place to live, you have clothes to put in your back. He has given you everything you need, and we're like, "God, you didn't bring enough cake." In Matthew, Jesus says, "The birds of the air neither reap nor sow, yet the Father provides everything they need. Are you not of more value to them? Yet you do reap and sow. You can collect and gather and bring in and work and make money. How much more of value are you to him than the birds?" And yet we're like, "God, you don't give enough to me. I don't make enough money to give." He's like, "Okay, try me." That's God's attitude. Try me. If your perspective is, "I don't have enough money to regularly tithe and pay all my bills," God's answer is clear as day. Put me to the test. See that I won't fulfill your needs. I know that's a little abrasive. I do. I get it. And I hope that you understand that I am not coming down on you. I'm trying to come alongside you. I want to pastor you. I want to shepherd this flock into the church that we could be. And I believe the greatest hindrance to the future of Grace Church is tithing. I don't even know what our tithing numbers are. I don't know what each person gives individually. I don't know who gives what and what percentage of our church gives what amount and all that stuff. I don't know that. I couldn't even tell you. I'm just saying, I know that money was Jesus' biggest enemy on earth in his ministry as he spoke. And that's for good reason. So, the future of Grace Church does not need money. It needs God. And God's people need to need God and prioritize God. But before that happens, we've got to get our finances prioritized. Let's put God to the test. Let's pray. Father, this morning, this is hard to swallow. For a lot of us, we're probably sitting here thinking, oh, that's convicting. As we all struggle and challenge the very difficult struggle of regular tithing, it's not easy. But you challenge us and you call us to put you to the test. Give us courage and bravery to put you to the test. Let this church and its future be amazing. In Jesus' name, amen.